Jacob was really the classic definition of a man who, out of weakness, was made strong spiritually, finally, by the end of his life. And yet, even then, I think, not completely, but saved by grace. Well, here in Genesis 25, you see the beginning of what is to be a characteristic weakness in Jacob, and that is the desire for material blessing. He deceives Esau out of his birthright when Esau is starving, hungry, and he says, can I have something to eat? I'm famished, I'm dying from hunger. And Jacob says, yeah, well, I'll give you some food if you sell me your birthright. Absolutely manipulative. This is absolutely wrong. He was obviously really into getting this birthright. And then later on, he deceives his father. He pretends that he's Esau, and Isaac says, are you my very son? Esau, yes, I am, Jacob says. He absolutely lies. He puts skins on his arms. He does what his mom tells him to try to deceive Isaac in order to give him the blessing of the firstborn. Because for them, it was so critically important to have this blessing from the father. It was so critically important to be the firstborn. And the fact that Jacob was just a few seconds almost older, sort of younger than Esau, I guess riled him no end. But the fact is, he was number two. He was not the firstborn. And so there was this huge desire for the material blessing of the firstborn. And yet that stands in contrast, of course, to the great theme of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God would bless them. And it was his blessing which was to be sought after, and not material blessing. And really, these two incidents really sort of set the course really for Jacob's life, that because of this, he has to flee. He really does pay for his sins and all the years that he lived with Laban. He himself is deceived. And even at the end of his life, I think he still hasn't quite learnt the lesson. You remember when Joseph brings his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, before Jacob. Jacob messes around with the two boys because he wants to make sure that the younger of the two of them gets the blessing of the firstborn. Well, he really should have learnt by then, shouldn't he? And I think it's true that there were times when he did learn. The classic one, I suppose, is when he meets finally Esau, and he's terrified Esau is going to kill him. And he wrestles with an angel before that, and I think he's supposed to understand from that that God is going to save him by grace from the hand of Esau. So he sends a huge number of expensive presents over to Esau, and finally he meets Esau, and what does he say? Well, in Genesis 33:11, in the Hebrew, he says, take away my blessing. In a lot of versions, it just says, take my blessing, accept my blessing, because God has been gracious to me, and I have all things. But the Hebrew is definitely take away my blessing, because I have all things, and God has given me his grace. So in that moment, at that point, in his spiritual graph and his spiritual journey, he got it. That, look, I don't want all this blessing of the firstborn, Esau. I'm so sorry that I deceived you out of it. Look, have it, take it back. I don't want it because God's been gracious to me. Well, you know, he really at that point got it. But as I say, pretty much on his deathbed, when Ephraim and Manasseh come before him, he tries to switch them round to make sure that the secondborn gets the blessing of the firstborn. He's still back at this old attitude. Well, that's, I think, how we can be. There are times in our concerns about material things, and we all do worry about them, don't we? How am I going to live when I'm retired, when I can't work? Am I going to be able to provide for my kids? Am I going to be able to get my kids through university? Are we going to have somewhere to live? Well, all this kind of stuff. We inevitably, you do worry about those things. It's part, I suppose, of being human. And at times, you really get it, don't you? Like Jacob did in Genesis 33. When he meets Esau, and you think, look, I've got God's grace, which means gift. I've got God's gift. So what? I've got the blessing, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, plus I have the blessing of forgiveness, of having God as my God, I have the blessing of eternal life in the future. God's going to look after me. He loves me. So what? Don't worry about it. And yet, unfortunately, material concerns have a way of coming back. And as I say, no matter how strong Jacob was at that point in crisis, later on, at the end of his life, it still comes back with this business about Ephraim and Manasseh. This is all, you know, just so psychologically credible. And it is, unfortunately, how we are all tempted to be. But of course, we are supposed to learn the lesson and to not try to desperately get up over our brother, not to desperately get material blessing. And I mean that the foolish thing was with Jacob that, I mean, they were a very wealthy family anyway. It was not that he was starving and that he had to do this in order to, as he saw it, just have enough food to live on. He wanted more than that. He wanted the blessing of the firstborn. And he had this strange idea that he thinks that his father's blessing was going to impart all this. And you wonder why he was like that. Well, psychologically, sociologically, maybe, possibly, this is the younger brother syndrome, especially when his older brother Esau was clearly the macho man mountain sort of bloke out there hunting, whilst the first time we encounter the adult Jacob, he is cooking stew, which was archetypically, stereotypically, the work of women in those times. And of course, he was his mother's favourite, and Esau was the father's favourite. He was a mama's boy, you know, and mum says, oh, you know, dad's going to give the blessing now because he thinks he's gonna kick it. You know, you just dress up as a, put the skins on your arms, make yourself look like Jacob. I'll get you set up for it. He is presented as doing what his mum tells him. And it says that, you know, she said to him, obey my voice, my son. And he does. And so maybe a guy like that is going to have this desire, so if you can understand it in psychological and sociological terms, this desire to materially hit back, as it were, as the younger, less macho bloke, as it were, out of the two boys, possibly. For whatever reason it is, some people do have this desire that they're almost wired with for material prosperity, and also to be number one, to have the best house in the street, to have the best car in the street. And it is, unfortunately, a temptation for some people. And Jacob clearly had this. And yet the whole point was, and this is the lesson for us, that having had God's blessing and experiencing his grace, as he says to Esau in Genesis 33, take away my blessing, because I've got everything, because God has been gracious to me. So the real antidote against materialism, against this tendency that we have towards it, is in the experience of God's gift to us, which we have already experienced right now.